Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. No complaints over here. Happy Tuesday.
I would have been happy if not for the first piece of news we're going to talk about now. It's not that significant. It doesn't sound like the contract is that significant, but Will Redmond, he's back. Back with the Packers. I'm not seeing really any contract details. This is probably going to be close to the league minimum, which I suppose defensive back depth never hurts. He's going to test that, though.
Doesn't it? Right?
Yeah, he's the ultimate test on that. So I guess we'll have to see if he if it's depth that doesn't play much on the field. I'm fine with it. I mean, obviously Will Redmond can improve. Maybe I'm pretty harsh on Will Redmond. He's obviously a much better football player than I ever could even dream of being. So there's that. But regardless, I mean, last year he's basically what the third safety, the fifth defensive back, kind of playing in those dime packages. Like even that is too much for me.
I don't want to say it's funny, but, you know, last week we kind of said, you know, as long as Will Redmond's not back, and it was almost like 20 minutes after we recorded, Will Redmond was back. So hopefully it's, you know, 5th-6 option. We can push him down and other guys can come in and do it. So it can't be any more than vet minimum. Yeesh. Like you said, hey, it's just time right now where you're filling up the roster and make them fight for a roster spot. That's all I'm going to look into it right now. But I know that was one of your spots that you had a little sore area for. So,
yeah, I mean, I harp on Kevin King, but I think Kevin King is a much better football player than Will Redmond. And I guess the amount we've been talking about Kevin King the last month, the last 3 months, maybe you wouldn't think so. But yeah, no. So I think the fact that, you know, Redmond's not being paid to be a starter, Kevin King kind of maybe is. He is. $6 million, that's a starter if he hits all incentives, but you know, Redmond doesn't seem like it, so at the very least there's that. But starting quarterbacks are going to be, it's the situation still kind of in flux all over the NFL. Obviously the draft is kind of a big one, and we saw some free agency signings in that regard, but now that the draft order seems to be kind of has shifted. So I don't know if we touched on this last week, but the Dolphins did trade back from the number 3 overall pick initially to the 12 with the 49ers, but then eventually trading up to the 6th spot with the Eagles. So draft order right now is Jaguars, Jets, 49ers at 3, Falcons at 4, Bengals 5, Dolphins at 6. Aren't our Lions right around there? 7, I think.
Yep, Lions are 7.
And then Panthers 8, Broncos 9. And I mean, really, the Bengals and Dolphins just drafted their quarterbacks last year, but literally everyone else in that top 9 could all go quarterback. So maybe a team like Denver, who probably desperately needs a quarterback, I might argue is maybe the, I don't know how you feel about this. I think Broncos right now are the worst quarterback situation in the NFL.
I really can't argue that. It's bad. It's really bad. And it's going to be a weird year where, like they're saying, and I think I agree, we might see 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. Not saying they're the 4 best choices, but right now you have some needy teams. Denver is one of them, but even the ones ahead of them, Jets just made a move that shown that, you know, Sam Darnold's out the door. They're drafting a quarterback. So it's going to be crazy. Day one, top 10. What are teams willing to pay to get a shot at one of those guys?
And I did misspeak a little bit. Panthers. I mean, up until yesterday, up maybe about 24 hours ago, Sam Darnold was a part of the New York Jets and now has become in a trade to the Carolina Panthers. I know this year, everyone's saying, oh, they gave him up for nothing. I think it's like a 6th round this year, but they do get a 2nd round pick in 2022, I believe. So it's not nothing. Third overall pick that you gave up a bunch of, you know, picks to trade up to get. So Sam Darnold on the Panthers. I suppose if they're, this probably does exclude them from taking a quarterback, certainly thinking that they're not going to get their hands on one of the elite prospects. Like, they're not going to settle for Mac Jones now over Sam Darnold. Denver might have to, but again, Denver might not even get Mac Jones.
Right, 100%. That's huge news because Carolina is basically saying they're not going to get a shot at the guy they want. And they still got Teddy Bridgewater. And is Sam Darnold was done wrong in New York. Right. Listen, this kid is still young. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not going to say that he's going to turn into something special, but he got thrown into the fire with a team that's not been good. He can go to Carolina right now and he doesn't have to start day one. He doesn't. He's got a young coach that is, you know, can work with him. He can sit a year, or, you know, even him and Teddy Bridgewater or whatever, you know, come in halfway through, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I think it's a good move for both teams. The Jets were kind of realizing, hey, it's not a part of our future. Got rid of him. And Panthers at the same time, hey, a six this year and a second and a fourth, and this kid might turn into something. He's still really young. What a good move. And guess what? The Panthers are going to get a weapon. I guess we can get into it another time, but, you know, Kyle Pitts is there or something like that. That Carolina offense is loaded with talent.
Although I think, to be fair, I mean, they've got weapons. I think O-line, right? I mean, I know they focused so much on the defense last couple drafts. I think they're locking themselves in. Whoever's the best available offensive lineman at eight, I think that's where Carolina's going.
I don't know. If Kyle Pitts is there, you go Kyle Pitts. That's me. But I don't disagree. Didn't they just sign Tyler Morton back? They paid him good money. But yeah, that O-line has been trash. So you're right. They could go with Rashawn Slater or something like that if he falls.
I mean, Sewell's right, the number one guy, right? Could he fall to eight? Because the way, you know, Pitts and, like you said, Pitts and Chase might go to Dolphins, Bengals. I know there's some rumors there that, okay, you got those quarterbacks last year. Let's get some first round receivers to go with them. And if like we were saying, if it goes quarterback 1 through 4, maybe the Lions take quarterback at 7. I mean, you could have your pick of the litter of the offensive line at 8, I think, with Carolina. I think that would be very tempting. I guess that the Bengals are probably the team. It's probably one or the other. They're probably either going to take an offensive lineman, or they take a receiver that prevents you from getting Pitts. So it might even be one of those things where they don't even have to decide. They either get the best offensive lineman or Pitts. It's unlikely both will be there. Maybe neither will be there and they have to take someone else.
Well, I don't think there's a bad option anyway, and I think you just laid it all out. It kind of lays out what the Bengals do, you know, and there's not a bad choice. Let these teams, because these four quarterbacks aren't the top four guys in the draft. Yeah, Lawrence is up there. And then the other ones all might need time. So there's going to be some really good football players that are going to be around 5, 6, 7. The Lions are the team that I have no idea what they want to do. You know, you got this new coach that talks all this toughness, and I can make fun of him all day, but I won't. You know, are you going to go for a blue chip grinder in the trenches? Or are you going to try to get that receiver or tight end, which you already have a tight end you invested a high pick in? I just don't see them doing that. So Carolina is going to sit in a good spot to get a darn good football player. Now they might go defense. Who knows?
That's true. I mean, hey, best defensive player available. I mean, but legit, I have been thinking about too. When's the first defensive player going? Because maybe the Falcons don't take a quarterback and go defense there. And you said maybe the Lions do, but you really get the sense that the Bengals and Dolphins aren't going defense in the first round. And almost every other team is going to go quarterback. It kind of just leaves me wonder, like, yeah, maybe the best defensive player is at eight. I think that the Panthers are in a good spot. They've got them some flexibility for themselves now. Instead of being disappointed that there's no quarterback, now they're actually excited that there's no quarterback there. I know you're saying Darnold doesn't have to start right away. I get the impression they've already decided he's the week one starter in my mind. There's rumors that they're trying to shop Teddy Bridgewater. They've allowed Teddy Bridgewater to actively seek a trade. Tells me they don't really have him in the plans. And I know the cap hit is pretty significant, although you get the benefit of Darnold on the rookie contract. I just find it hard to think he's not starting week one.
Yeah. So that's another gray area. Like you're saying, everything you're saying, I can't disagree, because listen, hey, we're getting our guy. He's still young. We're trying to get these years out of him before we have to actually pay him if he's any good. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you got Teddy Bridgewater there, who wasn't terrible, but let's not lie to ourselves and say he's a top echelon quarterback. But that cap hit, it's like, it's all going to come down to who's going to trade with you and what the trade value is, because you're eating a lot of money, which essentially, like you're saying, that's easy money to eat if you got it, right? But at the same time, if you have the option where you can afford to let him play, but then if you're Teddy Bridgewater, how motivated are you to play if you know you're like in a dead year? So It'll be interesting. Sam Darnold right now, I think, is kind of a broken window pane where do you want to shatter the whole thing or do you want to like just sit back and maybe you can salvage this? It'll be really interesting, but outside of the old line, he's going to have a lot of options going on there. That's for sure.
I mean, a favorite target in Robbie Anderson back. Those two had some good connections when they were in the Jets together.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, so we haven't really talked Packers yet. So let's, we're not really going to talk about Packers players. I guess we have to talk about Will Redman. I don't want to consider him Packer. That's why I'm saying that. Sorry, that's kind of insulting to Will Redman. So sorry, Will Redman. That's what you get for making me angry all the time. I am so petty. So let's actually have me not talk much, and let's let Jesse do most of the talking from now. And just looking at the first round of the NFL draft for the Packers. So they're sitting at 30.
29.
Really? The Bills are behind them?
Yeah.
Oh. That shows how little I know. I figured Packers number one seed.
Trying to figure out why it's so weird. I will look it up right now. But yeah, we are not 30. There's two behind us. There's two behind us.
Did the Bills go 14-2? That would make sense. They did the better record. Okay.
Yeah, that has to be what happened. Yeah. But yeah, we are 29. So.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, they're the number two seed. They're below us. But yeah, if they actually have the better record, that makes sense. All right. So what we do know is, there is a history here, though. Actually, every year, Gutekunst has moved the first-round pick, trading down to get Alexander, trading up to get Savage, the second first-round pick that year for them. And then I believe they got that from in a trade with the Saints, if I'm not mistaken. And then last year, trading up to get Love. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Savage for what did we give up?
Fourth, I believe. In the grand scheme of thing, it was a fourth when it was all said and done.
All right. It was the Alexander trade down. That's all that. But then, again, getting that pick in a trade and then later using that pick to trade up, I believe, with the Seahawks to get Savage. But anyway, so yeah, great moves by Gutekunst. Last year, trading up for Love. I don't think we like that as much. But pattern in the first 2 years of his tenure was first-round pick involved in the trade, and the player they got with the pick that they got was a defensive back. Is there a chance that happens this year?
Well, what defensive back are you talking about? Because this draft is so strong with defensive backs, especially corner. It is loaded. I think we talked about last week where I said some you know, draft gurus are saying there might be 11 or 12 guys that have first round grades in secondary. That's all secondary, not just corners. I kind of tend to agree. It's a pretty good class. There's a few guys I don't like as much. But there's one guy that I would trade up for. And like you're saying, first of all, Packer Nation that always talks about Green Bay never does nothing or they never go up and do much. Last year, yeah, we went up for a guy that, you know, didn't help us out this year. Brian Gutekunst has shown that he is aggressive and he will make moves that he sees fit. So if there's a guy there that they like, I think it's Caleb Farley. He's the best corner in this draft. A lot of people have him a top five or top 10 talent. And he came out last week and he was honest and he said he had a little back procedure. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to pretend to go into it, but it sounds like it was really minor. But he's had a little bit of injury concern in his career, right? Some people are talking he might slip a little bit. If that guy slips into the late teens, early 20s, I hope Green Bay jumps all over it. I'm not going to say that I said he's Jalen Ramsey, but every trait, especially like how he plays the game and he's got that dog in him, this kid's going to be awesome. He's really good. He's got all the talent. Granted, yeah, it's a back injury. That's scary. But that's a guy I move forward for. That is the number one guy that if he's there and you can jump up a little bit, you go get him. You go get him. And that 1-2 punch with him and Alexander, and he's a rookie. Trust me, you know, rookies will struggle. But that upside is insane good. There's nothing else to say. I just think that's a no-brainer. If he falls past the Raiders, you're calling every team. Yeah, to try. Obviously, you're not going to call the Bears, but you're going to call every other team and try to get them.
Yeah, true. Division trades rarely happen. Unfortunately, though, you know, I think you kind of nailed it, though. Like you're saying, the range has to be right. They're not going to be able to, because part of your thinking is, could the Packers, I know the Falcons, they're shopping the fourth overall pick. Do the Packers package Jordan Love and a bunch of firsts? And like, here's your quarterback. And then they get the best of it. Like, they just get the whoever the best defensive players. That doesn't seem realistic. Jordan Love or any of these quarterbacks in this draft. I don't think the Falcons are making that trade. And knowing that Packers first, that's going to be 29th or 30th, or hopefully 32nd. We're saying that. I don't think the Falcons care too much. It has to be a realistic range to trade up. Like even saying like late teens, like even that seems rough. Is a team really going to move down 10 spots? They'd have to give up quite a bit. And even if you did give up quite a bit and you're willing to do that, is another team willing to receive that package? So it is, yes, Packers aggressiveness to trade, but also to find the right team that's willing to trade as well. So that does make it complicated. We shouldn't just assume that there's going to be a trade just because there's a history of it, but I suppose that's what I'm doing, so there we go. We'll see if there's a trade. And again, doesn't mean they have to trade for a defensive back either. I think we've both agreed that that is their biggest need.
Big time. And you look at last year too, essentially to move up, what did we move up? Four spots? It took a fourth. It basically, when it was all said and done, it was a fourth. So yeah, the teens, that's a little bit more. 10 spots, that's bigger. But we moved up a fourth to get to where we wanted to go there. Like I said, does Caleb Farley fall that far? He must not check a lot of medicals because I don't see him falling that far. But if he does, and it's anything close, a fourth is easy to go up a few. A third and maybe a future. Or, hey, you know, you're willing to ship somebody out. You know, Jay Sternberger is a guy that I want to keep saying that, you know, maybe he goes somewhere else and he gets a chance. Not saying he's a big pawn or he's got a lot of value, but athletic ability is there. And he just, for whatever reason, being healthy and stuff in Green Bay, hey, maybe he's kind of lost flavor here and he needs a new place to start. So some kind of package deal, if Caleb Farley's there after the Raiders, I jump on it. I jump on it, and it's a no-brainer.
And again, I keep saying no-brainer. I think they're going to go cornerback for sure with that first pick, whether it's a trade-up or they just stick at 29. So you're mentioning Caleb Farley, but you also said you think there's quite a few corners that are going to go in the first round. So let's specifically look at cornerbacks. Who are some of the, outside of Farley, who are some of the other targets that realistically could end up in the 20s to where the Packers could trade up, or even at 29 where the Packers could stay and grab?
So realistically, Greg Newsome is going to be a guy that they might get a shot at. Northwestern, a little bit of injury history behind him, you know, where he's hurt, but every year he's gotten better. Last year, if you look at his PFF numbers, it's like he gave up like 9 receptions. Like, this guy was lights out. Blew up his pro day, ran under a 4.4, most natural mover. Like, you watch him going through the drills, this guy moves so good. You look at the tape, they play the kind of the offense that we play where they let everything catch in front of them, but this guy makes no mistakes. So Greg Newsome, some places they moved him up into like in the top 20. That might be a little high. Most of them I see, like, he's right around, you know, 25 to 35. He would be a steal, would fit right in, come in, compete. I think he's 6'1", 6'2". He's really good. That's a guy I like. Another guy that's there that I don't really like, but he might be an option, that's Eric Stokes. Georgia, he jumped out of the gym. I think he ran like a 4.3 40. So, yeah, fast. Then you go back and watch a tape, I don't think he was the best corner on their team. But at the same time, I think the upside's there. He's a competitor. He's really good. So that's another guy I think Green Bay might really like. I don't think he fits everything they like to do, but he's really good. Just another guy that Asante Samuel is one that I think it's a little early in the first for me and my taste. But what do I know? I'm not the Packers. But Asante Samuel was so much like Jaire Alexander. He's a dog. He didn't test like out of the gym, but he's good enough. Bloodlines, his dad played in the NFL. He was really good. And this guy he's a dog. He's scrappy. He fights. He doesn't give up much. He can come in, he can play slot right away, and then eventually go outside, where he said, I'm an outside guy, but I can play anywhere. He's another one to me where it's like, you can't go wrong with him just because of the mentality. And that's a lot for corner. For me, my biggest thing is, do you have that athletic ability, and then do you have that mindset where nobody's going to beat you, and if they do, you erase it, you come back, and you win the next rep. And that's him. So those are three guys I really like. I can keep going if you want.
Outside of Farley, Newsom's the guy you really want, it seems like.
For fit, yeah. He'd be the guy where I could see, you know, I'm not saying, you know, trade back or anything, but at 29 for the value, yeah, Greg Newsome, he's the dude. He's the dude. He beats out Kevin King day one. He really does. I mean, and that's not a bad thing, because Kevin King still can be on the roster, and then you have depth and all this, and you can move Jair around. But yeah, Newsome is that other guy where, well, I'm not talking about J.C. Horn just because I don't think he's going to be there. So I'm not even bringing him up. But yeah, Newsome would be the guy.
Yeah, I figured, again, thinking realistic expectations, not thinking the elite guys that probably go in the top 15. They're not going to get a chance at those picks. But yeah, so which was my next question about Newsome is, can he start this year? So you think Newsome can? You mentioned Stokes and you like him less. So is that your delineation line? Like, if, let's say, the Packers took Stokes, do you think King would then stay 1 year as the starter and Stokes would take over as the starter eventually? Or do you think he would have a chance to compete if that was the situation?
See, like, when I say, like, Stokes isn't, like you're saying, you know, he's not my first choice. Yeah, maybe just not at that value, right? You know, so that's it. I just don't see him at that value. But if he went back farther, sure, yeah. And, like, a guy like that, too, is like Kelvin Joseph, who's, you know, really been a hot prospect coming up. It's like, not there. I think there's better options. Because, like you're saying, I think we'll go, our biggest need is secondary. But the Packers are a team, and most smart teams draft where it's like, I'm not just taking a corner just because. We need a corner, that's all I'm taking. I think after the few guys that we mentioned, okay, we might have to go a different route because the value of another position overweighs that need. You know, we could still use an awesome lineman. You know, we could still use just good players at other spots. So, yeah, that's kind of where my cutoff is where I'm going with that, where it's like, yeah, Eric Stokes at, you know, second round, or if we trade back, or especially at the end of second round, sure, I'm all for it. The talent's there. I don't trust it early, because right now, we do need corner help, and I don't think he gives that to us.
Okay, let's say it's Newsome, or if it's Caleb
Farley.
Farley. I was gonna say Foley, but no, this isn't video game sounds. Beep Borp. So yeah, I think if either of those two were there and could start on the outside, ideally, that, you know, that what we were, the problem I was talking about earlier, having Will Redmond as sort of the dime guy. Maybe Kevin King, to get him on the field more, move him more to as a safety. Let him play, because, it, you know, Kevin King also is kind of, in a sense, a perfect fit for the Packers. It, what you were saying earlier is they like to let receivers catch the ball in front of them and tackle. And that's Kevin King's game. And so I think as a safety, you know, playing more of a safety or even a hybrid corner safety, that type of role, I think, could do him some well. So I do wonder, is there even a chance he and Chandon Sullivan switch? And this has nothing to do with rookies now. If, like, let's say they don't, or they go with corners that can't start this year, or they don't feel comfortable starting yet, and it is Sullivan King as, you know, as the two of the three starters alongside Alexander, could they possibly switch and put Sullivan on the outside? Because I don't know that would work any better than what they have now, but it might help King's game.
With King, that slot guy, you want to have, you know, that, like, Asante Samuel, he's got that quick, sudden movement stuff where he could. King, not as much, but like you're saying, like that big nickel or that third safety, maybe that could help his game, but then you're not going to ask him to cover that slot guy because his game is for more that big physical receiver. So I don't know how far that would go for that. I don't trust Sullivan on the outside right now. The best thing about Sullivan, if you can push him back to that dime role, or, you know, what he did 2 years ago when he really did good. Yeah, because he was behind other better players. You know, Tremont Williams is still there, a guy that you could move around. He's got that, you know, that savvy ability and that slot corner stuff he can do. Can Kevin King do that? I don't know. Maybe. Would it help us out of the Packers? I don't think we get a benefit out of it. And there's other guys that can do that. You know, like you got Elijah Molden, who's got that pure, I mean, now they're not even listing him as a corner. They're kind of just saying that he's a safety, but he's a slot corner that can do both. So a little bit smaller, but he's a dog, and he can tackle. That's the biggest thing, too. We need our secondary to tackle, right? We've seen how we've tackled over the years. Do you want to get that guy on the outside, or do you want to get that guy that you can put on the field and you can trust him to put guys down? So there's so many options. Again, I'm going to say it 100 times for the next, you know, 20 days. This corner group is so loaded that we'll be happy with who we get.
Well, now I'm almost wondering, A, my idea of King and Sullivan, now that I think about it, is actually really stupid. If that was a solution, they would have done that already. Like, they would have seen that, okay, yeah, like, we can try this. So they clearly, those guys are in their best possible basis to succeed. Well, I still think Kevin King could succeed as a safety, specifically more of like a free safety type of player. But you don't really want him as your free safety, which, again, a third safety kind of makes sense. So you know, before this episode even started, I was convinced they have to go corner in the first round. Now it's even stronger. They have to. But I also think, I don't think it's a mistake to go corner multiple times through this draft. If you're saying it's this deep and they can kind of take their pick at a few different types of players, I think may as well take a few different types of corners. So I wouldn't be shocked if they exit the draft with at least two, maybe even three rookie corners drafted. And with, you know, also just not to mention all the UDFAs that they bring in.
No doubt. Yeah, this is going to be a draft where, like I said, we're drafting a guy and we're probably drafting two. And I don't even think it matters that we're going to draft DBs, and how they use them, that's up to them. And I love it. It's just that kind of draft. I know I got an article coming out, you know, where Rodarius Williams, brother Greedy Williams, who I think is better, that's a guy you might get on day two or day three. I think he can come in and play. Is it going to be flashy? Is it going to be the sexy pick? No, but I think this guy can come in and play. You can put him on the boundary. You can put him in the slot, and he's going to compete, and he can play. And that's why I really like this draft. Like you're saying, you know, if you don't get your guy right away, you can get a guy a little bit later. Another interesting guy who he really struggled this year at Ohio State, but Sean Wade. Do I think he's a corner? Probably not. But his athletic gifts, where you take him out of doing man coverage and you let him play like a safety role, this guy could be really good. I think he fits that. He tackles, he's big, he's fast, and he can be a ball hawk if you're just not asking him to do too much. So there are so many options in the secondary in this draft. It just all depends on how we see they fit.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go safety in the first round, but I could, you know, probably not second or even third round, but certainly on day three, hitting up the safety, knowing that, okay, we got Amos, they've got Amos and Savage, they could have that third player come in to split reps with them or for certain formations, certain packages, so you don't necessarily, you know, mind even saying a round three guy at safety, just thinking, okay, yeah, he's not going to start for us, maybe ever for most of his rookie contract anyway, but if he's on the field 30-40% of the time, that's kind of a win there.
Yeah, 100%. And I didn't even get into some of the other safeties, but you're 100% right on that, Kyle, where it's like these guys are going to play snaps, right? This is an NFL league now where you're going to have light boxes and you're going to have a lot of athletic defensive backs. I don't even know what to call some of these guys. They're such tweeners where, like, I don't want to label you a slot guy because you can do a lot of other things. And I don't want to just say you're a safety. A lot of people are like, oh, he's a safety, he can't cover. That's changing. So, and this is a draft that has a lot of guys who are just looking at some of these draft-like charts. They change their position like every week because it depends on how teams view them. And that's what you're saying right now. It's like, well, how do you see this guy? As long as he's on the field, you have to find a role for him. And right now, slot or a third safety is really a starting role in the NFL. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, we've been obsessing with replacing Kevin King as the starter. But really, I mean, if they could upgrade a Chan and Sullivan too, I mean, they should be looking to do that and create more competition anyway. And like you said, maybe push Sullivan down to be that. He becomes that third safety or that dime package player. So why don't you go through some of those safeties or those hybrid defensive backs that you think, you know, would be good fits for the Packers? Because it does seem like it's one of those almost the eye of the beholder, right? The where some one coach sees versatility, another coach or GM sees doesn't have a natural position, right? So it really is to each team. They'll see what they want to see in those players, which means that the evaluation on them can be massive. So I think it's one of those where you're definitely not going to trade up and force it because you feel as though you might get a guy 2-3 rounds later than what you were expecting.
Right, 100%. So my number one guy, I know I did him in my article last week, and that's not just tooting him because of that. I think he's this kind of guy, and he's labeled as a corner, but Trill Williams from Syracuse. Dude, that guy, look, he is Okay, I'm not going to say he's Charles Woodson, but his game, and he's not even going to be close to Charles Woodson, right? Charles Woodson is an all-time great, but his game is like his. This guy can cover on the outside. He'll come up and tackle. You can put him in the box. He can blitz, and he strips the football like no other prospect I've seen in a long time. And that's not just me saying it. Like, a lot of people are saying this. And you see him all over the place. Some people got him as, round four. Some already have him like at the beginning of round two, just because of his fit. And I think he's a safety. I think he's at, what would we call Charles Woodson his last 2 years of the Packers? Was he a corner or was he a safety? No, he was just a heck of a football player. That guy I like so much. Is he round one for me? Probably not, because I think we got other things. But anything after that, if he's on our football team, we just got better. I think he's so good. A guy a little bit farther back. When I say farther back, probably round four, round five, something like that. But really talented. He's got a lot of dog to his game. Joshua Bledsoe from Missouri. He's a 4-year starter. Maybe not the best athlete, you know. Kind of like, does anybody think Adrian Amos just jumps out of the book athlete? No. But he's a Simon Shore. And you put him in the box, he makes no mistakes. And this is what this kid does. He's been a captain for 2 years. He plays the game like you're supposed to play it. He's really fun. Go watch some YouTube videos of him. Not even highlights, just do cut-ups. And you watch him play. He's around the ball all the time. He's getting his teammates hyped up. And he's an enforcer. He's just kind of a throwback kind of guy that can, again, do kind of everything. I really like him a lot. Those are guys I think we can get, like Tavon Morrigan, stuff like that from TCU. I think he's gone before our pick in the first round. And like you said, I really don't want to get a pure safety in round one, but there's a lot of good football players at safety also.
I would say, just as a, first off, a very specific comment to what you're saying, I would say that anyone watching tape should always watch cut-ups and never highlights, first off.
Right, but, 100%.
So a little bit of draft watching advice there on the generalities, but it is true that there's that, the snap-to-snap consistency of a player, but even just the various roles, like you're saying, it just seeing, okay, do they start to die down in the fourth quarter, things of that nature, and you could really grasp, and within watching cut-ups, you can generally see, okay, the purpose of each play to play, and you could really see what a player's trying to do as opposed to just highlight, highlight of different games with no context. As much as, it's not to say it's horrible to do that. Sometimes it's good to, when we get a quick watch of the player, what's the absolute ceiling? But really, as part of an evaluation process, should be the full game cut-ups.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's nice to see those huge splash plays, because what's this guy capable of? But like you said, like, how's this guy, when you see a cut-up, or, what I like, some of these small schools, when they're playing a big power conference and they're getting blown out of the water, what kid's still competing? What kid's out there still fighting? Like, hey, is Missouri a power in the SEC? No, they're not. There's been a lot of good football players that came out of Missouri, some good D linemen and stuff like that, just because they win their one-on-ones and they still compete. So, and that's, you're 100% right. Watch their games, especially the games that their team didn't do good, and you'll kind of see the character in the player then. And Josh Bledsoe, I love him. I love him. I think he's really good.
Again, I think we want corner in the first round. I'm not good. I don't know that I'll ever repeat that enough. Okay, so let's say the Packers do think, this draft is so deep at corner that we're not going to take our first round pick on corner. The guys that are there, like Newsom's not there, Farley's not there. We're not going to force the pick, take Stokes just because, like, just as an example, obviously, maybe they still take Stokes. Maybe they have Stokes higher. Who knows? We're not the Packers general managers. But if they kind of go with that attitude of we're not going to force the pick at corner, today's episode is specifically defensive players. So what front seven players? Because I don't think they're going safety in the first round no matter what. So if they decide not to go defensive back at all in the first round and they want to go front seven, there's a front seven player there. Do you think there's one position in the front seven or another where they lean? Or do you think there's an equal group of players at different positions in the front seven that could all be likely? How are you approaching the front seven evaluation here, Jesse?
Honest answer, I don't know who's on the board, because I could tell you right now, there's a pass rusher that I like out there, and everybody would lose their minds if we got him, because, right, we have three pass rushers right now. Why would you get him? But I think he changes you know, that's the future, right? Like, this guy could be that good. But then I you know, D-line is always the place you want to go. Is there enough guys that are good enough to take there? That's questionable. And then it's, you know, linebacker. Well, the Packers never draft linebackers early outside of A.J. Hawk. You know, is there a guy there like that? So I'll start with linebacker. I love J.O.K., Jeremiah. I'm going to kill his last name. Osawa Kamara from Notre Dame. I love this kid. If he's there, listen, he's not just a linebacker. He is your safety. So he takes away the safety thing and linebacker. He's a little light. He's about 220 pounds. He hits like a Mack truck. I think he's everything. I think he's that good. I don't see him falling. Some people have him all over. Like, I've seen him in the top 10. I've seen him around 50. He doesn't fall the top 25. But if for some reason, if he's there, I think I told you this, you know, around Christmas. I said, that kid's so good. He's so good. When they played Clemson, he could run with Travis Etienne. He forced two turnovers in that game. And he was the best guy on the field. He was that good. All right. Well, he just, you know, now you have another linebacker and you have that safety that can do everything. That's two birds, one stone. That guy is a position outside of, you know, corner that would take. I just think he's that good. Another guy like that who's way bigger, so he can play linebacker. Now he's a pass rusher too. Xavien Collins. I think he's 6'4", about 260, but this guy's a mover. He's from Tulsa. You could put him on the edge on pass rushing situations. He's a three down linebacker. He can do everything. Just a monster of a player, always around the football. Yeah, the competition he played against, not always the best, but you can't fault him because no one, he was always the dude. He was always the dude. I don't think there's a bad game that he had. So those two are the linebackers that I think you look at. No brainers where if we took him, I wouldn't be upset with it. And that pass rusher that I was talking about, that I think this is not a pass rushing draft where, you know, the last couple of years, 2, 3, 4 of them go in the top 15. This year, you might not see any of those guys. I think Jalen Phillips, which the question marks on him coming from UCLA to Miami, that he was going to retire from football because of concussion. So that's really scary. But then he comes to Miami and all he does is he's the best pass rusher in the country. He's got every move. He's can go inside. He can stay on the edge. He's that guy. He is so dang good. If he's there, like I said, it's not the sexy pick. Packer fans are going to be upset because he's not going to be a starter day one. He's a talent that you don't pass on because in 3, 4 years from now, when it's him and Rashawn Gary, you're going to say we have the best duo in the league. I think that kid's so good. And again, that's a lot goes on, you know, medical and what teams think about that, but he's really good. So if those three defensive players are there, I have no problem with Green Bay does if they take any of them.
You know, you did mention kind of a statement that I was also thinking as well. Like if they're going to go any defensive position in round one, I was thinking defensive lineman just because that's the biggest need for a starter, I think. Maybe even including corner. I mean, Kevin King, Kingsley Kiki Kingsley, there's a lot of okay there, but we, you know, could upgrade at starter in either way. So I know you released a draft profile of a player a couple weeks ago, and I think you want to talk about him now, don't you?
Yeah, Christian Barmore. I mean, the sky's the limit. If he eats a lot of snaps day one, you're going to see some mistakes, right? I think you're going to. But the sky's the limit. I mean, this dude's a freak. There's no one going to line up in front of him that's going to out-muscle him. He's a monster. He's just a bad dude. But he's still green. I mean, he's still green. He's 20 years old. But all the tools are there. Again, another guy, they have them all. Where do you value him? Some teams might value him, you know, early 20s. Some might say, yeah, he's not ready. He's a, you know, second-round player. But if you're a big guy that can move and you're a bully, the NFL needs you. And, yeah, that's him. Christian Barmore, does he help us day one? Maybe late in the season he could get more snaps and can be that guy. You know, was Kenny Clark the best player in the league, you know, year one? But December he was a damn good football player. And I think that could be Christian Barmore. And you put those two together up front, oh, man, you just got two bad dudes, that's for sure.
does Barmore seem like a locked in first round guy? You know, looking at Mock, is he someone who's going in the top 20 at any point, or is he someone that's going right in the Packers range where they could almost not for sure get him, but like, you know, in a lot of instances, he'll be a guy available to them.
Well, so if you look at like last year's draft and the year before, when, you know, D line, you had a lot of bigger names, you know, they went earlier, you know, and now this year where you don't have those big names, he might be the team's like, man, he's the best deal. He's the best defensive lineman, you know, just a pure, you know, inside defensive lineman that can play five tech in this draft. To me, no doubt he's the best one. Well, if I'm a team picking the top 20 and I need that guy, I'm not hesitating. If he's the best one, I'm taking him, right? But there's no other competition in this draft because I'm like, well, who's number two? Well, I like Davion Nixon. I don't know if he's round one. Doesn't have the same size. Granny's a Wisconsin kid, and I like him a lot. Went to Iowa, but he's from Wisconsin. Let me say that. But I think he's the cream of the crop for the guy that has it all. So can he be there with your question? Yeah, will he? Maybe not, but then that pushes back another player. And that's the best thing about this draft. You know, these teams are going to reach for a couple quarterbacks. They might, you know, reach for defensive linemen, you know, with all these corners. There's going to be a good football player for the Packers, offense and defense. There's going to be a good football player there.
Yeah, it seems like especially defensively, none of the positions are too overly top heavy,
right?
You know, you might have one corner that everyone's talking about, but like it seems like there's, like you said, there's no real elite defensive lineman, like any elite edge rushers that everyone's going, that, you know, this guy could theoretically go first overall, like that type of edge rusher. Like, you know, it doesn't seem like those exist at any point, even linebackers. So it does seem like it's a much flatter, much deeper defensive group. And well, I think we'll talk about this more next week. All the top heavy draft positions are all on offense. All the ones where there's a few elite players, I think you would probably say at least four positions, maybe even five positions are kind of structured that way. That's basically all the offense, right? So like, it seems like defense is far flatter, which suits a team like the Packers at 29, who maybe even just sitting there are probably going to get a good defensive player. So I think they're well set up in that sense for this draft. And again, if they need to trade up for, again, I doubt they trade up for anyone but a corner the way you're talking, unless they're thinking, you know, Barmore is the best guy and we want him. Maybe they trade up for Barmore, but you know,
I don't see it. Yeah. It's corner. It's Farley. That's Farley. And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cause I don't, they're not going to, there's no way Pitts is going to be there where they're going to trade up to get Pitts. And like, I don't think there's any receivers that are worth doing that for that are not going to, that, like, again, we think Jamar Chase is going to go in the top, potentially even the top five. So like the elite, and they're not going to do it for running back. So like, we know that much. So like those elite guys aren't there. So if there is going to be a trade up, I'm pretty convinced it's going to be at corner, and sounds like you are too, Jesse.
Yeah. I it just fits. It's the right year for it. Everything works together. And that's a good thing, you know, where the options are, there's one or two guys that I think is worth it. And it's because if it's really clustered, then you just sit and wait, right? But if that guy is your guy, you don't question it. So it'll be interesting. And you're right. Going back to what you said, you know, the D line this year, it's not elite edge rushers like it was the last 2 years, or it's not the elite inside defensive linemen that went in the top 10 the last 2 years. So now it kind of switched over to, hey, offense is kind of king this year. You have not a deep tackle class, but you're top heavy as heck. Hey, wide receivers this year, they're loaded. You know, there is a lot of good stuff there. Like I said, there, if there's a guy on the board that's on defense, he's probably going to be pretty good when the Packers pick.
Yeah, this might seem like the most likely year for Gutekunst just to stay put with the first round pick. I mean, again, did that with Rashawn Gary, but that second pick in that draft, he did move around. And it seems like, the last 2 years, having those, you know, late 20s, to 30th pick, wanting to move with them. So again, we'll see a tendency the last 2 years to trade up from that spot. Maybe that holds true, but this, again, as you said, it also does set up well to just sit back and, heck, maybe even forego the fifth year option and trade down. I think all three are possible really from this point. So it's going to be exciting for the Packers, the end of the first round, to see what happens there. If they move, probably within, you know, probably starting from, like you said, maybe pick 20 even, all the way to, 40, maybe even later, that like they could, that first pick for the Packers could be in that range anywhere, depending on the packages to either trade up or trade down.
Yeah, ton of value there. Where like, and that's a good spot to be in, where from pick 25 to pick 40, you know, you feel like the value is the same. If you want to pick up some more draft cap or something like that, you can do it. Or if you want to move up and your guy that came, you know, before 25 is there, you can do it. So this is a good draft to have it, you know, I don't want to say top heavy, but, you know, from 25, I'll even say back farther. I'll say from 25 to like 65, there is so many good dang players in this draft.
So even looking at that, the Packers can see their second round pick is still going to be a player we like. So they can get maybe more aggressive and trade up, or, you know, less aggressive thinking, you know, we get three guys in the second round of this class, that'd be amazing. But even just two would be nice. So I guess thinking of how flat we think it is, especially if other teams think that, maybe that actually makes it easier for the Packers to trade up into the top 20 even. If teams think, you know what, I'm sitting here at 18 and I think I can get the guy I want to take right now at 29, you know, there might be a package in place to make that happen this year. So as much as we think they're kind of reserved to stuck in the top 20, maybe after talking through this, I almost wonder if that, does that extend to the top 18, top 17 maybe? Can they creep up there? Can the Packers really afford maybe even to move up to 15 and get into that top half of the first round? I doubt that, but I'm curious. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be a hard move, like you're saying. Like, what do you offer without giving up the farm? Because you still want to compete this year. But yeah, like, you know, we have the draft capital. We have a few extra picks. You know, everything doesn't have to be shut down now. So yeah, I think it really, the play comes in, like you're saying, right after 20. I think we can play. You know, we got the chips to play. Before that, yeah, you're giving up a lot. Who's that guy? I don't know. But yeah, you know, and there's only one to me. Like, you know, Micah Parsons, I think, is awesome too. But inside linebacker, Packers don't value it like that. It's Caleb Farley. And when I say 18 after the Raiders, I'm realistically right around 20 is the only time you got time to play. But if he's there, I know I said this three times, that's the man. And like you're saying, we can go back. If you think it's pretty flat, hey, you know, a team might want to come up and get a fifth-year option on a guy. We can drop back into the mid-30s and pick up another pick because we think there's enough good players in the top, you know, 100, 120. Why not? Why not? So Packers are in a pretty good spot. I trust Goody, even though some people don't like all his moves he did, and last year was a little weird. I think we're in a good spot.
And it's funny because that play in the playbook is really standard for Ted Thompson. Move out of the first round knowing that teams overvalue that fifth-year option at times and then accumulate value. Haven't seen Gutekunst try that yet, but anything's possible this year. So, and anything's possible for us to talk about on the show. So if you want for us to discuss a particular subject, you can reach us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Co-host individually, you can follow and find us on Twitter. Again, Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. You know, with the Full Press Coverage app, you get access to all the written content from Full Press Coverage, including the just dropped article by Jesse, Hidden Gems, in the draft. So talking about actually some of the names that were mentioned on this podcast, but a pretty decent list of players that are all possible for the Packers to land throughout the draft. So definitely advise checking that out. And again, you can do that by downloading the free Full Press Coverage app. And of course, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_II official, composer, writer, producer of the song Na You, which we use as our intro and outro music. So shout out to PA the Second for that. Appreciate the support there, and as well as to use this platform to share that music with the world. So, Jesse, any final thoughts?
No, look forward to next week, diving into some offensive players, and as always, go Pack, go.
Perfect preview. I don't have to say anything else on this episode of the Full Press Packers Pod.